Tonight, we are going to begin a series of lessons. It's going to be like we did last year. They're not going to be consecutive week by week, but they will be, it'll be a series once every month. So there will be 12 lessons on three things or three things about, and there'll be topical lessons, and I have a host of other lessons that we'll be talking about, but the theme itself is just three things about, and then we'll fill in the blank and talk about those three things on the topics that we choose. Tonight's lesson, we're going to begin this series on three things about miraculous gifts. That's something that we constantly see if you have a television set, and you'll see some people on TV claiming to heal people, and sometimes it's a bit theatric, and you're maybe questioning, is this legit? You know, what's going on here? So I want to answer three things, or talk about three things about miraculous gifts this evening. And so let's get into the lesson. If you have your Bible, you might want to open it, because we're going to be looking at a couple passages tonight that I think will help us in coming to some conclusions about this. But the first thing that we're going to talk about is that miracles are real. There are such things as miracles. If you could advance the slide one, please. The Bible is an amazing book recording just miracle after miracle. Where do we start? I mean, we can start a creation. That's a miracle. God from nothing made everything that there is. Wouldn't you have liked to have sat on a tree limb and watched after he made the tree? Well, you know, sit on the tree limb and watched God make all this and everything. It would have been incredible. I can't imagine having the power to just by speaking things come into existence. But that's, you know, the first miracle we read about in the Bible. And then you move forward and you see the parting of the Red Sea. Wouldn't that have been something? For Moses to have the children of Israel, they have escaped Egyptian bondage. Now Pharaoh is furious, and he and his army are coming to pay retribution to them. And they are backed up against the Red Sea, and they have no escape. And then God says, get up and go forward. And he tells Moses to raise his rod, and he raised the rod, and the waters of the Red Sea parted. And it wasn't, sometimes you'll hear this phenomenon, some natural phenomenon. There was a strange wind that caused the waters to separate. They crossed on dry ground. You may have an explanation for how the waters created this, backup, but the waters backed up and the people walked across on dry ground. And when the enemy entered, God caused the waters to fall back on them, and they drown in the water. Again, I don't know what you would think if you were there and witnessed that, how that would affect your life for the rest of your life. You'd be telling that story over and over again. And then you come to, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three friends of Daniel, who were taken off into captivity in Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar said, you've got to worship me. You got to bow down to my image. And those three boys wouldn't do it. And he was made them angry, and he had a furnace, a fiery furnace that he was going to throw them in if they did not bow down, and they wouldn't bow down. And so he binds their hands and he throws them in the fire, and the fire was so hot that the men who threw them in, they died from the heat. And these three boys, the ropes burned off. It wasn't like fake fire. It was real. Their ropes burned off. And there they were just walking around in the fire. And what I find amusing, maybe in my weird way, is Nebuchadnezzar said, come out of there. Or was it Belshazzar? Now I've just totally forgotten. But anyway, one of those Babylonian kings told him to come out of the fire. Can you imagine? Like, come out of the fire. Telling somebody who's in a fire to come out of the fire. You know, and so they come out, and their clothes don't even smell as if they had been in fire. Tremendous miracle. Again, you would talk about these things for the rest of your life. And then you move to the New Testament, and there are so many miracles that Jesus did and his apostles. Resurrection stories grab me the most. Like in Luke chapter 7, Jesus was on one occasion, he saw a funeral procession. And I can't, you know, I've done a lot of funerals, and they've never ended like this one. Jesus saw this funeral procession, and it was a widow lady, and it was her only son, and he had died. And I can imagine these guys having maybe a coffin on their shoulders or whatever, however they carried it, and they were walking down, and Jesus tells them to stop, and he touches the casket, and that boy sits up. Can you imagine the gratitude that everybody who loved that kid, that young man, would have had for Jesus, and how amazing that would be? When's the last time you've gone to a funeral and the person in the casket got up and was okay? And then you have the miracle with Lazarus dying. He'd been dead for 4 days. His body was decaying. They said he stunk. You know, don't roll away the stone. There's a smell that attends him. And Jesus said, come forth. And he came forth. I don't even know how to, you know, I like to think about things like that. And imagine if I were there, what would I have, what would my thoughts be? Peter in Acts chapter 9 heals Dorcas from her, well, raises her from the dead. She died. Everybody was there saying what a good lady she was. And they had their things that she made and sewed for them. And Peter brings her back to life. So yeah, miracles are real. The Bible is full of miracles. God gave miraculous gifts to men. If you have your Bible, open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In this chapter is where we see that God gave gifts of healing and miraculous, a variety of different miracles, but he gave them to men. You can pick up in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts. Not everybody had the same power that he gave these first century Christians. There are diversity of gifts, but they all came from the same Spirit. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Nobody could say, well, this is the one I want. I want this one. I want that one. God just gave them as he pleased. And the abilities were to be used for the profit of everybody. And what some of these were, there's nine of them listed in this chapter, but one was given the word of wisdom. One was given like a supernatural knowledge, and then gifts of healing, the working of miracles, verse 10, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, the ability to interpret those tongues. They're all listed here. God gave them to the first century church, and they used them. And that's what we see record of. In the book of Acts, you see those miracles being performed. And the purpose of them was to convince people. Like if I said to you, you need to follow me because I am the Christ. I am the long-awaited Messiah. You would say, prove it. And that's what they were saying about the Jesus and the early apostles. And so that's why Jesus came and his apostles continued doing these signs to demonstrate, I'm not all word, but let me prove to you by my power that I am who I claim to be. And so the Bible is full of these miraculous events. Jesus or God gave early Christians this ability. Miracles And by the way, we need to, I think it's in order to define. A miracle is not just some wow event. It's not just some amazing feat. Like you can watch the Olympics and see some pretty amazing feats of athletic ability. That doesn't mean it's a miracle. A miracle is something that transcends the laws of nature, that violates the laws of nature. Things that you can't walk on water. That's a violation of the laws of gravity. You can't just fly by your own power, just arise up off the ground, because that's a violation of gravity. There are certain laws in place, natural laws that govern this world. Miracles are things that people worked outside of those natural laws. Having a baby, as miraculous or as great an event as we think it is, it's not a miraculous event. It's within the confines of nature. It's how people reproduce. It's natural law. It's an amazing thing, but it's not what a miracle is that we read about in the Bible. These are things that could not have happened except for some supernatural intervention. Okay, so number one, miracles are real. Number two, this lesson is three things about miracles. Number two, miraculous gifts have ceased. I said they're real, and they are, and we have record of them. But they have ceased, not because I said so, but because the Bible says so. Miracles came with an expiration date attached to them. They weren't intended by God to last forever and ever. They were given for a specific purpose, to confirm his identity and to confirm the truthfulness of his message. But they weren't intended to be like things that we got to toy with for the rest of, you know, human history. They were limited. Let's turn in our Bible and let's see that. Keep your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have the gifts are enumerated. These miraculous powers are given, and we can read about those nine gifts in chapter 12. You get to chapter 13, and we read about the duration of those gifts. And then chapter 14 tells us the regulation of those gifts, how you're supposed to use them. But let's talk about the duration in chapter 13. And we can pick up in about verse 8, because he said, he's been describing love down through verse, 1 through 7. And then he says, love never fails. Well, let me back up. At the end of chapter 12, he talks about a more excellent way. You know, they were arguing about who had the best gifts, who had the best miracle or powers or whatever that the Lord had given them. And they all seemed to be wanting certain things. And Jesus said, or Paul said, you know, there's something better than doing these miracles. Did you know that? And I wish you'd pursue that. It's love. And then he begins to describe love in chapter 13, how much better love is. And then he says, for love never fails. That's one of the reasons why it's better than the miracles. Love never fails, but the miracles are going to have an end. Love's going to last when the miracles are no longer around. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they're going to fail. There won't be people making prophecies by divine insight like there used to be. There was going to be a time when they would fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. In the first century, people had the ability to speak in other languages that they hadn't even studied. They could just speak in those languages. Those are going to cease, he says. And where there is knowledge, not just 1 + 1 = 2 kind of knowledge, but that knowledge, that supernatural knowledge that he said was going to be given in chapter 12, those gifts, he said, you know what? And that's going to vanish away too. So here's why love is better than the spiritual gifts. Love's going to last forever, but these gifts were only given for a duration. for a period of time. There would come a time when they would fail, when they would cease, when they would vanish away. Well, when will that be? Well, he says in verse 10, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The part things are those gifts. You know, I might be given, a bit of revelation and I share it, and somebody else might be given a bit and they share it. And it was just doled out in parts. Those spiritual gifts were partial. But he said, there's coming a day when those partial things are going to be done away with. Well, when is that? He says, when that which is perfect has come. Now, when we hear the word perfect in our day and time, the way our English language has evolved, we think sinless. When, you know, something that's perfect is without flaw. That's not the way the word is used here. In fact, many of your translations will say mature, complete. And that's the idea of the Greek word that's used there. When something that is complete, fully mature, has come, then these things that are in part, these spiritual gifts, will be done away. So that leaves our head scratching, and we may like argue about, well, what is that thing that when it was complete, the gifts would be done away with? It might be a difficult task for us if all we had was 1 Corinthians 13. But we have more. Flip on over to Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians 4 is a parallel passage. Paul's talking about the same thing to the Ephesians as he was the Corinthians. And in chapter 4 and verse 8, he, like he did in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, you know what? Gifts were given to men. Look at where, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, speaking of Jesus, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Well, that's what he said in 1 Corinthians 12. That he gave gifts to men, and he listed what those gifts were. And then he says, you know, the purpose of these gifts, verse 12, is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That was why they had them in the first place. And he also even uses the same kind of imagery. 1 Corinthians talks about, you know, being a child. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. He uses the same kind of language here about verse 14. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Okay, so you see the parallels, and I thought about putting a chart up, but I didn't, but I can get that to you if you're interested in it. But here's the thing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, these miraculous gifts are going to cease when that which is complete has come. Well, what does Ephesians chapter 4 say? Look at verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, that is prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here you go. Till... there's our time. This is how long they're going to have these gifts that were given to those men. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect, mature, complete, same word, perfect, mature man. Notice those gifts were going to last till we come to the unity of the faith. Now note, not our faith, not what I believe. When my beliefs unify with your beliefs, it's not our subjective faith, it's the faith. When the faith is united, then these things are going to be done. They'll only last until the faith is united. Well, you take those two statements. When something complete has come, and when something, the faith, is united, that's when the gifts are going to stop. I believe what Paul's talking about is the revelation of God. He gave it in parts. Paul got some of it. Peter got some of it. Jude got some of it. John finally gets some of it. And when God had said all that he was going to say through these men and these parts, and he finishes every part of the revelation he wants to give us, when he's done revealing truth to us, that was the time when the gifts were to cease. When he completed the faith, the completed word of God, if you want to say it that way, the gifts were to cease. So we don't have them today. They had them in the first century, but when the faith was united, they were to cease. Paul said, that's one of the reasons why love is better, because they're not going to be here forever. Love lasts forever, but these gifts won't. And so when we turn on our televisions and we see all kind of theatrics, people hitting each other, you know, on the head, literally, I'm not trying to make light of it, but hitting each other on the head and doing all these things and saying people are healed by the power of God, It's not legitimate, not according to what the Bible says. I had a book a number of years ago. Well, it was actually my dad's book, and it was written by a doctor who had followed a faith healer around the country, and he wrote down the names of the people that he allegedly healed in these crusades, and did a follow up with them all. Not a single one of them was healed. And have you seen on television how that they get up and they're still limping and they sure don't look healed? But that doesn't look anything close to what Jesus did with people. Here's a man who had been lame all his life. Do you imagine the atrophy that would have taken place? He would have had no strength. How would he have even had balance? He had never walked before. And that man got up and leaped in praising God. That's not what you see on television and what you hear about. That falls into a different category. There are certainly a lot of people that can maybe emotionally move somebody through psychosomatic illnesses and so forth, but true miracles beyond nature, they're not being performed by men today, according to 1 Corinthians 13 and Ephesians chapter 4. And from our own experience, do we not see, if men have the past, just the other night, I was listening to a preacher and his wife talking about having the power to command the weather. They had the power to make tornadoes even stop. And then in the same sentence, she ended up saying, and I think she accidentally said it, we don't fly when the weather's bad. Well, why wouldn't you fly if you have control? A number of years ago, there was a man that was well known for his faith healing. The SARS virus had affected Toronto, Canada really badly, and he had a campaign scheduled in Toronto. He canceled his campaign because of the virus in Toronto. Should that not have been the place he should have gone if he had the power to heal? If somebody locally has the power to heal, can we not go to Children's Hospital of all places and help those little kids? You see, there's something that's unreal and a little charlatan about all this. So let me give you the last point. Number three. Why does it matter? So what if, people think they can still do miracles today? What difference does it make? Let them do their thing. We'll do our thing. What difference does it make? Well, it matters. First of all, truth's at stake. I don't ever want to surrender truth because I don't think it's consequential. I want to stand for truth whenever I know truth. But secondly, there are people who are desperate. And these people are taking advantage of and manipulating people who are desperate, searching for some hope in their life. And you know, just the manipulation of people that whose lives have gone south, something is terrible that has happened to them, and they don't know where to turn, and so they turn to them for help, and they fork over all this money in hopes that they can do something, and all they're doing is being taken. The Bible talks about those people in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and as well the book of Jude, verses 3 and 4 and verse 12. Those passages talk about people who will manipulate people for their own desires. It's hard to believe that people would take advantage of such people. But listen, it happens not only in the name of religion, but how many people have gotten a phone call or gotten an email from somebody far off in Nigeria telling you your Microsoft is needing upgraded or something, you know, and they want to, and they rip people, they rip off the gullible, those who are vulnerable. And that happens in religion as well. That's why it matters. There is such disappointment that can overcome a person when they realize that they have been taken, that they think that Christianity itself is a sham. And we certainly don't want people doing that. And there's harm that comes from it. Do you remember a few years ago, there was this program about just up the road in Kentucky. It was on television, like a docuseries. It was about this guy that handled snakes in church. And then he got bitten by a rattlesnake and died because he thought God wouldn't let that happen to him because he had the power to do that. And then how many people have children who they won't take their children? You hear stories of this every once in a while. They won't take their children to the doctor because they think that would be showing a lack of faith. They're trusting in God to heal their children, and their children die because of this false hope in these people that are peddling false hope. So yeah, that's why it matters. There are people who are hurt by this falsehood, and we should always uphold truth. So with those things said, those are your three things about miraculous gifts. We'll have other topics throughout the year, so that'll be a Sunday night, and I'll give you some heads up as to what those topics will be prior to it. But I hope that, you know, I sometimes have said to myself, boy, I wish I could have seen a miracle. That would make my faith so much stronger. If I could have just witnessed somebody do a miracle, man, those first century people, they were lucky because they got to see real miracles. Yeah, that's true. But how many people in the first century still wouldn't accept Jesus, even though they were looking at it with their own eyes? And I imagine a first century Christian would sit today, if he were able to, and say, those 21st century Christians are so lucky. They got the Word of God in a leather-bound volume right there, and they each one own one. Man, what I'd give to be a 21st century Christian. You see, maybe there are some advantages that we don't have, but there are advantages that we do have. We have the Word of God that is completed and made no need for the miraculous. Jesus was confirmed by those miracles, and you don't have to reconfirm it over and over again. Those miracles confirmed it, and in this we have a reliable testimony, a reliable witness that he did those things. So reading it is just as good, just as valid as seeing it. And if you're here this evening and you're not yet a child of God, I hope that you'll place your faith and trust in him. We will offer, like we do at every service, if you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we'll assist you in that. And if you're a child of God already but unfaithful and you need to come back to the Lord, we'll pray with you if you need to come as we stand together and sing.